Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 23rd on the West Coast, now March the 24th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well, and hope you enjoy tonight's show. Been listening to as much alternative radio as I can, particularly anything that's revealing what's going on, and some of the topics we touched upon last week and the first part of this week regarding earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis and what's going on in the Far East along the Ring of Fire. And, of course, the big concern, nuclear power plants, and what's really going on there. And I'm getting a lot of mixed information. And I have to tell you, it can't all be true. And so we may talk about a couple of those subjects and issues with tonight's guest. But before we bring him on and really get into some other issues as well, I don't want to dwell on that. I decided I was just going to play something that sounds nice tonight, something that some of you will remember. Every song I play on the show doesn't necessarily have to fit a theme, although I think we all, those of us who love music, have a common interest in certain types of music, and certainly composed music, arranged, orchestrated, produced, and certainly performed. And a group that I've enjoyed for many, many years, well over 30 years, still has songs that apply to what's going on today. If it's not in terms of our individual relationships with the planet or the universe, might just be with one person. And sometimes a nice love song or a song that talks about the passion that one feels within is a good thing, because it gets us to open up our hearts. And when we open up our hearts, then we open up the possibility of making that connection with the Creator. And that leads to our inner power. We've talked about that on past shows this week, and I intend to do that as well tonight. So while we get ready for tonight's message and conversation with our guest, I'm going to share a little bit of Toto with you. This is Pamela.
Yeah. precious July treasure.
That's Toto. This group suffered the loss of drummer Jeff Porcaro. I talked about that on a past show. He was working in his garden and was asphyxiated by some pesticides that he was using to get rid of some bugs on the plants. And it's a shame. What a loss to the musical world. One of the most incredible drummers on the planet ever, of all time. He and the other musicians in Toto actually made their start in music at quite young ages and worked on many, many recording sessions, hundreds, with famous artists producing hit records. And finally, they put their own group together and expressed their own ideas, and a lot of people are moved by their music around the world, not just here in America. And we miss musicians like Jeff Porcaro. And, of course, we miss the band as well, though they have occasionally toured over the years around the world. It reminds us of the power of creativity and all the joy and happiness it can bring into people's lives. Even help mend relationships, because people identify, or they used to identify, with the music that they would hear when they were first introduced to a boy or a girl who they fell in love with, and we sort of retain the memories. It imprints our DNA in a sense, and we hear some music and we recognize the moment that we fell in love with a person, and it brings back those memories. And that's kind of what it's like when we recall God. the God self that's in us, that was given to us as a gift to be used on this planet. And much of what we're experiencing right now, as we've said on past shows, even last night's show with Christopher Holmes, is that we lose our identity because we've been given a false identity. We've been given illusions. So is it any surprise that we're lied to about what's going on around the world? That there is a secret agenda to control the planet, and at the same time, we're in danger of many, many things, and those that aren't telling us the truth are the ones that are putting us in the danger in the first place. Most people don't wake up in the morning and say, geez, what am I going to do today? It's my day off. Oh, I think I'll see if I can create some sort of mass murder someplace because I have nothing else to do. Or maybe I can go start a war, get a couple of my friends and start a war in some foreign country. And yet we've got governments that are doing that all the time, corporations, banks that are sitting around plotting their next move to undermine humanity and really to defile the creation. That's the bottom line. And we're going to talk about some of these things now with tonight's guest. He's a frequent guest on Evident Footprints for many reasons. He is an environmental scientist, a chemist. He is an herbalist, an historian, and a musician as well. My good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks. Great to be back. And enjoy Toto. Very sorry to hear about Jeff Porcaro. That's just hard to believe. And I also didn't mention last week, I enjoyed that tune by the Tubes as well. A lot of talent there.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've got quite a collection, you know, over the years. I mean, that's what I've done my whole life is music. And I've got a big jazz collection, a big classical collection, rock, R&B. And when I say R&B, I mean going back to the beginning. I've got a lot of the doo-wop music. And, you know, I can't listen to everything every day, but once in a while it's nice. Sure. You think of something that sort of puts you in a particular space, and it's nice to listen.
That's right.
I'm sure our listening audience can identify with that too.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a radio show, you know, I would love to just be a DJ and share music with folks. But then again, we have more important work to do. Yet the music still plays a role. It's sort of the glue that holds things together. And sometimes it opens up the spiritual pathways that need to be opened so that we can get a grip on what's really going on.
Yes. Absolutely, and it's that and so much more too. It's like a snapshot of in time of a particular culture's tastes and styles and whatever it is they're into. One word to sum it all up would be tonal, but we're not familiar with that one in the English language. But that one word is defined as all of that. It's a particular feel that you have in a particular snapshot in time of a particular civilization, and music is just so integral of all that. It's all of that. You hear music, an older tune, your memories are rekindled. It helps you recall past events. It has the emotions come back up, all of that. It's music is a beautiful thing. When it's, as with anything, when it's used properly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people will talk about music. You can look at the creation. You can look at the universe and how it was created. And those with the discernment can hear the music of the spheres. They can literally hear the music that the universe is playing. But you really have to be quiet to hear that. And you have to be able to shut off your thoughts and disconnect yourself from illusion, from the false self, from the ego, and just allow the process to occur. And it's quite amazing what comes through. And I would say 99.9% of the time when anyone I talk to or interview who has had that experience knows exactly what I'm talking about, and they describe it exactly the same way. Even if they haven't heard others describe it, it's always a similar description. And very difficult to put into words because these are concepts far beyond the indoctrinated propaganda that we have for an education and for information as to what's going on in the world. It's intended to lower our vibration, to lower our frequency. And the lower it becomes, the further away we are from love, which is likely the sole purpose of the creation, is just to express love throughout the universe.
And well, absolutely, Don. I mean, the Creator's primary attribute is this love that he extends towards all of his creation. And so, yes, that's in essence what it's all about for us as children of that Creator. And so, yes, that's absolutely true. The music of the spheres, I have experienced that. I know we've discussed that in the past, and it is an extraordinary experience. It's a supernatural experience. So that's why it's difficult to put into words. It's an ethereal experience, and yet totally vivid, completely real as reality is for us right now. And but truly a musical experience, and it's literally a major composition with a full orchestra and the wind, the waves, and the birds chirping and everything in it as well, but it's all musical. And very exhilarating and uplifting, but it has this particular supernatural effect where it removes you immediately out of your body. And it will enable you to travel because it's technically a sound current flowing. And you're in that current flowing with it, takes you right out of your body, and it will transport you to other dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so it's naturally difficult maybe to describe it, but when you do, when you experience it, that's how I would try to surmise it and describe it to somebody. But it's a beautiful experience. The music is stunning.
Yeah. We focused on that a little bit at the outset of last night's show. And, I actually played a piece, and what was interesting is Christopher Holmes hadn't heard any of my music other than the show theme. And, I had a request for a song, so I played one of my tunes at the outset of the show, and he picked up on it right away. I mean, he picked up on the spiritual aspects of the music, which was interesting for me, because he could say, "Well, that was nice," or "I didn't like that," or but he described it taking him someplace, like you just said, mm-hmm. And he transcended the space he was in at the outset of the show, I'm sure. Music does that to me. It does that to a lot of people.
Stimulates the imagination.
Yeah.
And that's why it has to be good, true, quality music, because it can stimulate creativity. And when it's that form of music, and if it's a irritating, negative type of music generating a negative energy, especially if the lyrics are to match it, then it will cause you to go into a negative state of mind. And that's why I stated that music has to be used properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my approach to writing music in the early days of composing a song was sort of, well, let's see, what do I hear? What do I feel? What idea is springing up, inside me? and I would set about to write a song, and sometimes it flowed really nicely, and there were other times where it was a struggle to bring out what I was hearing or what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a combination of these things that are occurring simultaneously. But there are also moments where I look at creating something that people can identify with in a sense, because it brings them closer to who they are. And it doesn't have to have words to do that. Just the instrumentation,
sure,
or the harmonies or the rhythms, all of those things, the melodies and how they interweave together. And there are various other aspects that you can get into, such as counterpoint, using motifs. But the goal is to do it so that it's complete. It's not missing anything. And it communicates the message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if one approaches, if one's listening to God, or attempting to hear what God would like to listen to, for example, that's a pretty lofty start to composing a piece of music. Is, well, let me interpret what God would want to hear. Now, how do we even begin to imagine what that is?
Well, what would I do?
It's a process. well, the point I want to make is it's a process.
Sure.
And it sort of works itself out on its own. When you really make that connection, it's effortless.
Yes. You're eventually, the thought will manifest. If that's what you're focusing your mind on, then eventually it'll just drop in your lap, and that musical piece will come about spontaneously, and you find you're really close to home with the kind of sound that you were trying to imagine that would be heavenly, something that the Almighty Himself would enjoy listening to, having around Him. I normally listen to all the great classic pieces, Samson and Delilah, many other greats that are just very heavenly sounding. And I draw on that from a foundational perspective, as I try to emulate something that I would consider appropriate for a heavenly sound. And so that's how I approach it. But Don, at the beginning, when you're talking about love, and that's the primary purpose of existence and creation, and it's so true and fundamental that even in chemistry, with the music of the spheres, what we're talking about is that behind creation, the real glue holding matter together is this music. And Pythagoras was the one that came up with the phrase, as he taught it to his disciples. He called it the music of the spheres, that behind all matter is a music constantly flowing, and that's what keeps creation going. And sure enough, I experienced it quite a while back, spontaneously, just a nice treat from the good Lord. And so I, from personal experience, verify it's true. Now, at the chemistry level, the way it works is everything we know in matter is made of atoms. That's established science fact today. It's been proven that at a very micro level, there's a small mass of protons, neutrons, and electrons that comprise the base unit of a particular element. But then behind the mass of that proton, electron, and neutron is really energy itself, just vibrating, pulsating. And because it's just energy vibrating, oscillating in space, there's automatically a sound generated by that action. Because that's what sound is. It's simply vibrations in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so atoms are generating their own tone, because a pitch is a tone. So in chemistry, for example, when we're taught that atoms come together to form molecules, and they do it because of ionic bonding, covalent bonding, etc. But technically, it's a harmonization process the atoms coming together are joining because they're attracted to each other.
Yeah, they're fulfilling a purpose, even though we might not understand what that is.
Yes, but it's an attraction,
mm-hmm.
okay? And this attraction is due to an affinity they have for each other, and therefore that's called love, you see. And so even at the atomic level, the micro level, the power of love is holding all creation together. Atoms come together to form a molecule because they're attracted to each other. That's a loving vibration they have that locks them together. Now, since each atom singularly, individually generates a tone, a pitch, when you have a group of atoms clustering together, and then it's a group of pitches, tones, and since they're in harmony with each other, it's technically a chord of music.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you have at the atomic level the fact that music is being generated in creation constantly.
Yes. Now, I think this is important that we're talking about this in the sense that we're talking about information. We're talking about energy that has sound, much like other information comes in the form of light, and it interacts with nature. Both sound and light interact with nature. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get to the nature of man and man's current state of consciousness, and then he's given more information, but the information doesn't resonate like music does or like light does. And I'm talking about just natural light, natural sound, not artificial effects. Not laser lights and disco balls spinning, you know, scattering light in all directions just to dazzle the mind, but take the focus off the heart, you see. When people hear things that are going on around the world, and they hear 10 different stories as to what caused an earthquake or what caused a tsunami or what caused a volcano to erupt or what actually was behind a meltdown of a nuclear facility, and on and on and on, regardless of what event you want to talk about. You know, earthquakes. Let's talk about the number of earthquakes. These events, and it's important to say this, these events can occur naturally. They did before we had the technology to initiate them, to induce them upon the planet. And probably because of some of the many discoveries of Nikola Tesla, it was his discoveries were sought out to become weapon systems. And, of course, the information was withheld from the general public. Tesla wasn't even taught in school. And he certainly isn't today either. His contributions to science in general and to the modern technologies that we're using today. And the average person who is in fear about what's going on because they're getting mixed messages. Well, it was artificially induced. It was caused by TARP. It was caused by a nuclear weapon. It was from a satellite. It was this. It was that. In the end, it doesn't even really matter if we're not seeing what's going on, if we're not able to observe the process without becoming consumed with the fear. And the fear is making people sick. The fear is making people tired. The fear is making people irritable, irrational, and they're at each other's throats. It divides the people. You see, it's the opposite of love. And one could just observe what's going on and say, well, this isn't part of the creation. This is destruction. If I'm to find myself, or if we are to find out who we really are, who we were created to be, and the inner power that we have, then we should be able to discern that what is going on is not us. Yet our failure to do anything about it, or our failure to acknowledge that these things are occurring, and something is behind it, and we should be seeking to understand what it is. so that we know what it is. It's not that we believe, we think it's this or that because somebody said so, but that we all know inside, intrinsically, just like we feel when we know we like music or when we like art or we like something, some act of kindness that we've experienced due to what another has done for us. See, those things, we know they make us feel good. The things that test you are there also to help you work through blocks that we have, whether they're psychosomatic blocks or physical blocks, mental blocks, spiritual blocks, or even karmic situations. And I think the way things are speeding up, I think a lot of people are experiencing karma in real time. Things are just unraveling very, very quickly. Now, I know you've been listening to what's going on, Michael, and hopefully I'm making myself clear, because this is a deep topic to discuss in the sense of, you know, what can we say to the listeners who are listening to a thousand different sources of information and they can't make heads or tails of what's really occurring. And I don't have all the answers. I know what I feel. I know what I'm observing, and I'm hearing all the different accounts. This expert saying this, and another expert is contradicting the first expert. Well, which one is an expert now? Or what are they really an expert in? if their messages can be so opposite of each other. Okay, so what I'm getting at is, just give us your perception of what you see going on in people's minds and the things that they're struggling with.
Basically, Don, I would say typically everyone's wrapped up in their own personal individual worlds. And if those personal individual worlds are clinging to the old system, the old way, the old age, then they're going to continue feeling turbulence. They're going to continue to feel increasing stress because there's a rift between the future, which is quote unquote a new age, and the old age, which is passing, which technically in astrological terms is called the age of Pisces. And so everything that wants to cling to the old age and the old way of doing things, which involves a lot of death, a lot of bloodshed, not just from warfare and not just from beating each other up in the streets, but by killing animals and eating their flesh and blood, spilling their blood and eating the flesh. That's all part of that system, which goes back to antiquity. And but at the same time, there's vibrations coming in that are very uplifting. They're very rejuvenating. They are very enlightening. And because they're light energies and they're enlightening, they're going to have a light effect on the physical body as well. And so if the body is used to being into darkness, being fed darkness, dead food products constantly are dark foods. There's no light substance within them. The atomic energy levels of those substances is virtually zero. So it's technically dead and therefore dark. And so the body will also experience a lot of distress, and various symptoms could flare up, even headaches. Headaches are probably becoming pretty common, I bet you. And so the key is to tune in to the new vibration if you already haven't. And that's simply, it's all about light energies, treating your body with light foods, keeping your mind on positive thoughts that are always light on the mind, and keeping your emotions always oriented towards a positive, constructive state of being, No jealousy, no envy, no self-pity. Got to shun all that, all those negative emotions and thoughts that go with it. You have to shun it because that's an albatross or the anchor, the heavy weight that will be tied to your legs that will keep you down indefinitely until you cut those chains back off. And so ultimately, Don, that is where we are, I feel today, with what people are experiencing at the individual levels and at the level of our country or the world itself. We can see all kinds of stress manifesting at a more macro level. And these are all more symptoms of what I just described coming about. And at the same time, at a macro global level, these evil scum like the Rockefellers and the Schwarzschilds and their banking cartel, these guys know this is happening. And so they have to accelerate their plans, their agenda, because the time is limited for them to pull off what they want to achieve here.
They're losing grip on it.
Yes,
aren't they?
They were. Let's hope they are, and to some degree they are. But at the same time, because of that, we have to be very careful because they're going to become more desperate, and they will become more vengeful, and a lot more hell could be unleashed by these scumbags.
Mm-hmm. Now, with all these different processes going on, you have light and sound. A very high grade, which is permeating the creation all the time. It's not something that just started coming here or goes to any other planet in the universe on some particular kind of schedule. It's everywhere. The energies are everywhere. And our spiritual essence is inside of us. I think the main problem is that we have become disconnected from that, and thus we've disconnected ourselves from the source, or we've allowed others to disconnect us. Under the pretense of authority, under the pretense of teaching us about religion or teaching us about science or numbers or the arts or languages and whatever else you want to. History, that's the biggest farce, I think. We don't know our true nature because we're not feeling it. We're not in touch with it because your true nature is going to be different from mine. And our individual true natures are going to be different from everyone else's. Yet the laws that they operate under are all the same.
Yes, that's right, Don. And even though we're all individualistic, and that's a beautiful thing. That's an incredible expression from the Creator to be able to achieve such a thing. And nonetheless, though, what we all have in common is this innate conscience. So if you do wrong to somebody, if you steal from somebody, you don't have to be told that you did wrong by someone else. You know automatically from your own conscience that you did something wrong. Now, where's that conscience coming from? And obviously, it's coming from God himself. So clearly, we're linked up. We're all linked up. It's already established. The link is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been conditioned because we're born as mortals, raised as mortals, all trapped in their mortals, what I call mortal syndrome, which is all the defects that the human nature has acquired. And it cherishes these defects. That's part of the mortal nature. It doesn't acknowledge them as defects. It believes it's part of the reality, and you have to accept it. And so we've been conditioned in this world we're in to break that or to have a corrosion on that link up, that connection, so that we become unaware that it really exists. And it's so powerful of an effect that they're so accomplished at that obviously many people today don't even have not realized their true nature, haven't really reconnected to their creator. And they even question if there is a creator, proving that the conditioning process for preventing an individual from such a self-discovery has been really effective by the enemy of mankind, which is the fallen angels and then their physical representatives, which again are the scumbags, the people causing all the evil. The system itself that we're talking about is created and designed by them. Like you said earlier, Don, they sit around on their spare time devising, planning cunningly how to steal, how to enslave, how to upset the natural order of Mother Nature, and how to enslave and steal from everybody all they have. This is what they spend all their extra time on. And they have major think tanks. It's not like they're doing it all by themselves. They pay a lot of brainiacs to in these think tank groups to come up with the ideas on how to do all that. So obviously, the enemy of mankind is real.
And if you broke that down into simple language, let's form a group of people to come against God.
And the bottom line is the enemy of mankind is a true enemy of God. And therefore, since God loves us, that's why we are in their crosshairs as well.
Yes, I understand that. And I've been doing what I can, and my guests have participated in this process of opening up those doorways, those windows to the soul so people can see their true essence. Because then it doesn't matter what they're saying. You see, everything is born out of illusion down here. Everything is created under a pretense of being something which it is not. And one could even say, if you want to get really deep and esoterical, that the whole process of life on this planet is one big fat illusion.
In a lot of ways, that's true. But I always state that when that theory is presented, I always have to clarify it because there's truth to it. Yes, but when you drop a heavy weight on your toes, you're going to say "ouch," and that illusion, that pain that you're experiencing. And especially somebody that's in a lot of pain, suffering, maybe a pinched nerve on their back and they're laid up in constant pain all the time, or a wicked toothache with no relief, whatever that source of pain is, for example, that pain is no illusion. And so, everything is an illusion, and yet at the same time, it's real. That's the paradox.
It is a temporal illusion, though, because at the moment my physical self ceased to exist, the pain ceased to exist as well. Now, I can carry the memory of that in a spiritual context. Let's say I drop something on my foot and it drops on three other people's feet at the same time. You know, a big, large, heavy object or something I knock over. We're just using a simple example here, but I'm equally responsible for that. Going back to what I was saying, okay, the average individual, I don't think, wakes up and says, well, you know, today's boring day. I'd like some action. I think I'm going to go round up some people and let's go see if we can start a war someplace. We don't think in those terms.
Only criminals do.
Yeah, but there are those, even soulless beings, people with no conscience. If they know that what they're doing is wrong and they don't have a conscience, then they have to be operating out of fear, at least the fear of getting caught, the fear of having to face the consequences they know that are there.
And yeah, Don, it's and yes, as well as the fear that they themselves lack what it takes in order to go out and earn whatever it is that they're trying to rip off from somebody else that has earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're denying their own God nature that God has given us of being creative beings. And that involves the ability to learn. If you don't have the ability just yet, well, study and practice. But that takes work.
Yeah.
And that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of patience. And so those are the fundamental requirements that we all need to possess.
Yes.
If we're going to be able to be self-sufficient and rely just on us and our creator, throughout our entire lives. But that's the personal experience. It's the only way to go. Once you get that going, once you have established that rapport with your creator and you have learned through experience to rely on that creator for everything you need. When the job is, you can't find a job, but you know that opportunities will come about, and you also apply yourself. So you're good at more than just one thing, so that an opportunity for a job to come along will even be greater than if we were only good at one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but nonetheless, we all will have that inner strength because we know that God, our creator, will provide whatever you need. I mean, he is good to his children.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we all have to master fast, because everybody else that doesn't have that are going to continue feeling a lot of distress, a lot of turbulence, as the old ways, the old system is going to be wiped out, as the good Lord makes everything clean and new again for God's system, which is going to be all about peace, prosperity, and work. You want something, you're going to have to work for it. But it'll all be a beautiful system where opportunities will always present themselves. And the mortal syndrome will be pretty much destroyed, so that we can function as whole beings. Parents will know how to raise their kids very properly, so that the kids grow up with a good sense of self-awareness, not selfishness,
mm-hmm.
but self-awareness, so that as they mature, they will understand their responsibilities, and then they will pass it along to their offspring. And everything's going to be more of a peaceful vegetarian type of diet, because disease and death will be, it doesn't belong to the new system. It's all part of the old system with the mortals and their mortal syndrome. So
there are many things that are coming to light. Those that know, again, we'll mention Tesla, that are familiar with his work and his research and his inventions, know that it was over 100 years ago when he had learned the secrets of tapping into the power of the universe in ways to create energy or to transform energy into various power systems to be used by people at no charge. This was available to everyone.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah. The guy was truly a blessing.
Yes. But it's been withheld, it's been shelved, it's been sequestered, it's been suppressed. People have been murdered. Tesla himself was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And many other scientists that sought solutions to the ills of mankind, or solutions to these seemingly unsolvable problems about, well, where are we going to get our energy from if we run out of oil? You know, those lies that they've been telling us for years and years, or that we even need nuclear power. You see, if we would have paid attention to what's going on, if you look at the destruction that nuclear energy creates when it's unleashed, as it was in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, not to mention all the above ground and underground and even in space testing that's gone on.
Sure.
You see, there we hold some responsibility in that sense. We have to pay attention to what's going on. It's not about being fearful. It's getting to the truth.
Well, one thing's for sure regarding this Japanese tragedy. As Americans, we have to seize this opportunity to learn from the mistakes of the Japanese and to demand that we cease any more nuclear fission type of reactor systems, because fusion is totally safe, ideal for an energy source, but they won't let us have that at all. And so the fission, which generates radioactive waste, we have to make sure that is shut down from any future developments, and the existing ones we have to make sure they're highly protected with technology for safety fails systems, so that we never have such a thing happen here. And if it ever does, whoever owns those stations, whoever the stockholders are, whatever, they all have to hang, because this is one of the scariest things that could happen to anybody. That half of Japan, maybe more, could be inhabitable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, like you said at the beginning of the show, the real story yet. It's going to take some time before the truth fully emerges and we know exactly what happened and what the net results are for the Japanese. But there's a very good chance that a lot of that area could be inhabitable. It could even go into Australia, into the Philippines, and be inhabitable there as well.
Yes. Now,
and so that so that's very possible. So we have to make sure that we don't allow any of that kind of crap to continue on here. And we have to demand that we get alternative suppressed energy sources, just like you're saying, Don. We have to demand it now. We know it exists, and we want it. And we want those inventors, all the modern inventors that are into alternative energy sources, we have to give them an opportunity to present their case, to present their product, and get it out there for public consumption.
Yes,
and,
you see.
And get off this grid crap. You see, Don?
Yeah.
They're into this grid, right? Everything's a grid with them, because with grids you control. With grids you enslave. So even the power grid that the whole planet is getting for their energy sources, for their individual homes and residences, it's all from a grid, all part of the matrix grid. We have to tell them to take their grid and stick it where the sun don't shine. We want that individual little power source that we can have installed in our own home, and there will never be a power failure where the whole town or cities are out. And just a little earlier, a little while ago, had some friends over, and we were talking about energy, and I took out this flashlight, and it's the kind that you just shake it with a moving magnet in a coil, a Tesla concept. You shake it, and then you get a light. You get free electricity. And I said, look how easy it is to make free electricity. Shake the light, you shake the battery, and you get electricity, and you get a light coming out of the bulb. That's all there is to it. Magnet in motion around coils, within coils, and you'll get an electromagnetic field and then the electrical current as an effect of that electromagnetic field. It's that simple. And you could have a device just big enough to generate what you need for a home. And so it'll be totally safe as far as no huge electromagnetic fields that could be very disruptive. It'll be something that's pumping out maybe 30 kilowatts an hour. And you could run a mansion all year round with heating and air conditioning in all your rooms and have a pool heated. You could have it all. Never cost you really anything except for the original purchase of that energy generating machine.
Yes. Now, you know, if we look at the Japan quake, or any quake for that matter, that's caused significant damage. You could look at the one during the World Series in San Francisco that damaged the Golden Gate Bridge. Cars were falling off going into the bay. And you had a mile-long stretch of the Nimitz Freeway, the upper level, come crashing down on the lower level with people underneath it driving at the time that that occurred. These are man-made structures, you see. Man has attempted to challenge nature. And you could say, well, it's just a road. We need the road to get from one place to the other. But corners are cut because they could certainly make the roads safer, that they don't have to fall out of the sky.
Well, you know, Don.
See?
Sure, absolutely. But I can't wait. And what I envision, and eventually it's going to happen, is we don't need roads. Look at all the money we're going to save because we don't need roads. Now, we'll keep a trail because with anti-gravity craft, it's obvious that we can't have everybody just zipping around left and right unless they're totally like bumper cars. And when you collide into each other, you just bounce off each other, but there's no harm.
Mm-hmm.
And until we can design them like that, then I envision that we keep the anti-gravity transportation devices as hovering systems that just operate so many feet off the ground. so that no animals can get killed, nothing can get run over, but we'll use an old road system as our guide, as our trail that we have to stay on, the right lane and the left lane. And there will be some kind of technology that makes sure we are locked in that area.
Yeah, you
can
do that with magnets.
Yep. You know. And that way we can't deviate too much, you know, as the kids start to learn how to drive and they want to get a little wild and crazy. They won't be able to with these devices. And that way everything's safe.
Yeah, sorry.
That's what I want to see.
Some people will ask, well, where would we put these magnets? Well, you can start by putting them in the potholes in the roads.
Yes. I mean, right, that's all you need. That's all you need to do, Don, for your road work is lay out the magnets, and that's a one-shot deal. You don't have to come back repaving all the time because you got potholes. The winter can't destroy it. The salt's not going to destroy your vehicles. Animals won't be getting killed. People won't be getting killed by hitting deer. Mm. And it's just win-win-win. But these scumbags won't let us have such a machine because it's going to be too difficult to control us when these kind of technologies get released. And that's why they won't let us have it. And ultimately, I'm convinced that the reason why they want to depopulate most of the planet is solely because they have these technologies for themselves and they want to start to use them, but they can't yet because there's too many of us. Once we get our hands on it, they can't control us anymore. Get rid of most of the population, then come out with the technology. Then even if it falls into some civilian hands, the poor slave peasants that will exist under that system, if they can create it, fully establish it, it won't matter because they can just come right down and squash them easy because there's not that many of them.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about the technology, Don. That's their main motivation for trying to wipe out most of the population so they can enjoy the technology just for themselves.
The technology is their crutch due to their lack of genuine spirituality, you see. They want to become gods, technological gods, and challenge the creation and even try to control it with their technology. I mean, I see that. That's what they're doing with mankind. They certainly know our relationship to God. They certainly know why we're here. They will never admit that to us, however.
No. Don, you're hitting it right there. But ultimately, it comes down to immortality. You see, they will never have immortality where we have opportunities to achieve it. And so since they are denied it because they're offspring of the fallen angels and they're cut off from God, they need technology in order to try to establish, be able to attain their version of immortality, even if they're half machine. And so they're pathetic losers. They are totally anti-God. They will destroy the natural order of Mother Nature and creation just to get their way if they're allowed to continue.
Mm-hmm. Now, on a grander scale, the problems that we have on the earth, and I'm sure you would probably agree with this, and most of our listeners would, the problems we have are a result of our spiritual ignorance, our ignorance of universal laws, and how we cannot function without them, and yet we deny they exist. Or we're forced into situations that require us to deny that these laws exist. And they've been replaced by artificial laws that are just thrown in our face as a means of control. So the things that are being done allegedly in our behalf by governments and corporations that control the governments are really nothing more than illusions, because they're not born out of the creation and the laws of creation. They contradict the laws of creation.
Look
at the fear that all this stuff creates.
Yeah, well, the system that we're in, the world that we're in, even without man, is because it's created by the fallen angels as they tricked Adam and Eve and brought about what is known as the fall. And so they need everything to be fear. Even if man was gone, but rest of nature was still intact, the fear mechanism is still existing because you'll see the gentle animals that are grazers and birds that eat seeds, they're in constant fear because a predator wants to pounce on them to eat them 24/7, 365. They never get a chance to kick their feet up and relax and say, I can relax and eat right now. No, they take a nibble and then they look immediately. Any kind of noise, any kind of disturbance, and they'll take off because they're constantly in fear of something attacking them to eat them. And so it's part of this fallen nature that we're in as well. And mankind, though, is perpetuating it and amplifying it to an extremely high degree through his actions, constant actions. So that's a fact for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, one could say that the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom intrinsically know what they can trust and what they cannot trust. They know what vibrates with the creation and what is a dissonant or discordant type of vibration that they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure. They're much more acute, aware, and sensitive to such things. And everybody knows that knows animals, especially dogs or cats, where somebody comes along and the cat or dog will either react in a friendly or more of a scared way or protective, you know, even get a little nasty and show some aggression or protection, defensive actions. And so you know that animal is sensing the nature of that person clearly. And so animals are still very much aware and sensitive to such things, where mankind himself, because of the mortal syndrome, they go along living all the time believing that there is nothing higher in the food chain above them, that they don't have any fears of something wanting to pounce on them to devour them. And that's a major error, because there is something obviously pounding on us, jumping on us, feeding on us all the time. And so that's what the Lord was saying with, though they have eyes, they cannot see, though they have ears, they cannot hear. And, unfortunately, that's how it is with mankind, but it's all due to their mortal nature getting the best of them, because through their conditioning, they have never really tapped and discovered their real nature, what they really are and what they really are not. And then that mortal syndrome, all the mortal conditioning, could start to break away, chip away, as their real self emerges and begins to crystallize more and more and become their real nature, their real being. And then wonders, opportunities, supernatural activities will become commonplace for people that are operating from their real self. It's everything changes.
When we talk about the mortal nature of man, you know, we're talking about man's connection to this third dimensional existence and its illusions and the truth that we may discern through that experience. Not everyone is mired in illusion, but there's a struggle because there's this agenda to just produce illusion, to present illusion, to create an environment that it consists of nothing but illusion, whether you want to call those lies, smoke screens, false flag events. People are confronted with various aspects of attacking the mortal aspect of who we are.
And mortal nature, Don, is
allow me to finish my statement, if you would.
Go ahead.
Because I want to move to the spiritual for a moment and just say, because our true nature, our eternal nature, is who we really are. And that's the spiritual aspect. That's what we've been cut off from. There's no doubt about that, that all the solutions to the world's problems are hidden within us. And all we have to do is discover the true nature of who we are and to put that into being. It's not just something you read in a book and say, oh, okay, now I know. Now the world's problems are over. We have to apply that in a meaningful way. We have to bring that knowledge into the physical, into our actions, into our deeds, into
yes.
our creations.
That's right, Don.
That's
in order for...
Go ahead.
But just go ahead.
No, I've basically said that. I mean, I could
okay, now,
for hours, but
see now that's time. All accurate. But what has to be conveyed is, in order to accomplish that, in order to be able to do that, we have to define what the mortal nature is and the immortal nature very clearly, so everybody listening can then recognize it when it's when they're operating from that level. So the mortal nature is so pathetic that it'll make people who feel they have, you know, total, they want to live, they want to have a long life, they want to stay healthy, but because of their mortal nature, they still contaminate their body all the time with junk. Okay? But at the same time, they feel that they're confident, their diet is still good, Mike, and that, you know, they want to live a long time. They don't want to have the need to go to doctors or anything, but that's where a major error is. This is one example of the mortal syndrome, that's a major blunder.
Yes,
because
they're
not. Excuse me?
I do agree. Aren't they also asking for someone to save them from that situation? You see, they don't want to take the responsibility upon themselves. Oh, well, save me. Save me, Mr. Doctor. Save me, Mr. Pharmaceutical Company.
Well, that's right, see? Don. That's all part of that mortal nature, the defects, the flaws of our mortal nature, the way that mortal mind, because it all comes down to the mind itself. We're using a mind that's not really God's mind, because God's mind, only perfection will come from that. The ideas, the thoughts, everything will be constructive, creative, and achieve perfection eventually. But the mortal mind, it will always protect itself and at all costs, and it will deceive itself, believing that it's going to live forever. People, we walk around as mortals all the time thinking, what am I going to do when I retire, when I'm 50, 60, 70? Let's see, I got to start planning on that now and work hard for it. But they're smoking cigarettes day in, day out, while they keep planning on how they're going to retire. By the time the retirement age comes up, they die of lung cancer.
Or they're drinking a fifth of whiskey.
Sure. Yeah. Or they're eating at McDonald's every day and they got cancer or some other serious ailment. Then they go to the doctors and the next thing you know, their health rapidly or gradually deteriorates over a short span of time and then they're shot. And so that's the mortal nature, that defective mind in operation there. And that has to be recognized for what it is. And immediately I term it as killing it. You can't let it surface. You got to get rid of it. You got to kill it. And again,
you have to purge it from the system completely.
That's right. One of the main teachings that the good Lord would teach to his close ones was you got to kill your mortal nature before it kills you. Because that's how it is. But the immortal nature, the God's mind, by operating from the immortal self, then we have a chance of being around a very long time. And there's people out there that have been doing this for a very long time and are still around. And they don't come out for public exposure. They have no interest in showing the mortals mm-hmm. what they're up to, because they broke away from mortal activity. But they dwell, you know, they'll mingle with them, but you'll never know it. The old saying about entertaining angels unaware. And the angels have their prodigies. They have their particular influences that they establish so that human beings, the children of God, have an opportunity to discover their real selves and work. It's called the work, by the way, in the old days for those on this path of self-discovery. It would be once you got to a certain level of understanding, then you would be instructed to carry out the work. And the work is us, constantly working on yourself, 24/7, 365. That mortal nature won't die easy. It's a job, it's a battle, and it's a long struggle in general.
It's ruled by the false self or the ego.
Yes, that's right, the false self. That's all part of the mortal syndrome. That's where when the Lord said to one of the rich men that after he He was very influenced by the Lord, so he went and he gave all his wealth away, and he comes back to the Lord and says, well, what else do I need to do now to get to the kingdom in order to get to heaven, Lord? And the Lord says, man, know thyself, meaning you, now it's time to do the work. And it's a big process, could be a lifelong process, could be lifetimes of processes. But for those that pursue the work and have a good teacher, so they know exactly how to prepare and follow all the way through to the end till you reach the goal, and so that's a tremendous effort. And our mortal nature is lazy; it doesn't like to work. That's another flaw of our mortal nature. See, it doesn't want to work, and when it's really a defective mortal nature, it wants to prey and feed on the work of others because it's so lazy.
Well, and a lot of that, you know, that's, see, you're talking about discord. You're talking about these vibrations, which are normally used, for the higher vibrations following the universal grids that interconnect all of the constellations, all of the galaxies, all of the solar systems, and the planets within the solar systems, and the various life forms on each planet, and the accompanying a consciousness or lack thereof. So you're talking about an extremely complex system, and to do anything to counter what is natural is really setting up one's own demise. This insanity that's occurring on the earth right now cannot go on forever. It will snuff itself out just by its very nature. You can
as only, it has done in the past.
Yes, you can only destroy your creations until all of them are destroyed, and then what do you have left? What value do you have? And what does one learn in that process? You know, are these evil ones that we talk about night after night so stupid to not see that in the end.
That's right. They lose. They're losers.
Yeah. They're
yes.
They're not.
They are that stupid, and they're stupid. They're that stupid simply, Don, because they lack a soul. Where there's no soul, there can't be any light or intelligence dwelling, and hence, as a result, it's stupidity that exists. And so they're blinded by their own egos and selfishness, and that's their downfall, and ultimately why they are losers. So that's all true.
So then what would you suggest here now to someone who is bouncing back and forth, you know, searching for the truth? There are people honestly wanting to know what's going on. Their motivation may very well be fear-induced. There's a lot of that, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But for the person that wants to find themselves and you know, one requires patience. This is not something, it's not fast food. You know?
That's right, Don. It's a process. And patience is the most fundamental virtue that we all have to have. When you get the patience of a saint, as they say, then you know you've came a long way. By that point in time, you will have developed to a certain degree some mastery over various things in life, because that's what patience of a saint brings to you. And so that's the most fundamental thing to acquire. Many times over the years I would hear, Mike, I don't have patience to do that. I can't believe, where do you get all that patience from? And I say, hey, if you want the power, then you have to develop the patience, because it's not going to come quick, and it doesn't usually come easy. It'll come quicker and easier for some than others, but even then, for those that it comes quick and easy, they're still working, they're still applying, they're still expending tremendous amount of patience and diligence before they acquire it. And so that's the most fundamental that we all have to have, tremendous amount of patience.
Yeah, there are so many ways that people are being bombarded with pharmaceutical drugs, for example, and the commercials that... You know, we've talked about this on past shows. we don't need to dwell on it forever. I just want to bring the point up that, you know, you have a headache. Well, anymore, they're dealing with life and death issues, restless leg syndrome. If you have this disease, you need to talk to your doctor. Or, you know, what is restless leg syndrome? Is that a person who's just sitting in a chair, bouncing his or her knees up in the air?
I think it's, I think, Don, it goes right along with attention deficit disorder.
Exactly. Well, you know, they describe all the benefits that this medicine is going to give you in about one sentence. And then for 5 minutes, they're telling you about heart attacks, strokes, and everything in between that you may succumb to from taking this medicine. So you have to ask yourself, why should a person take such risks? It seems to me the restless leg syndrome is the least of the problems. That's you, right? Right?
Sure, to a smart mind.
Yeah, or to say to someone's, there's a particular device. I'm not going to name it. But it's a device that they say in 4 minutes you can have a fulfilling sex life with your partner because of what this invention does. And then they have these actors who say, wow, you know, when I tried this out, I didn't think it was going to work, but I said, wow. Okay, there's the wow factor. Oh, you're supposed to now suddenly go out and get this product if you're suffering from a lack of performance in the bedroom. And then the next guy that comes on says, I don't see why anyone would want to live without this. So if you have half a brain, when this commercial's over, dial the phone number and get it, because you can have life. This will give you life. They're actually selling you things that first of all, they don't even give you permission to have. if you get the double meaning here, they're promising
you mean that they're promoting it as something that's going to make your life more enjoyable, right?
Oh no, they go beyond that. The words,
really?
Specific words are, why not have life?
Yeah. See? Well, it's, you know, Don, so, these scum are just clearly, that's just more distractions keeping people off from understanding the real nature. So you never need such things.
It's catering to the mortal aspect of
total to the lower nature, totally. And it's very sad that they get away with that crap with commercial exposure over such an outlet like TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pathetic. It really is.
Now,
and
person didn't toxify themselves, or they weren't intentionally toxified by the food manufacturers and the water departments in their towns and cities, and sprayed in the skies and vaccinated with every kind of poison you can think of, and enduring things like depleted uranium and radioactive fallout from nuclear meltdowns. You get the picture? Yeah. These are the things that contribute to bad health.
That's right. But even for those that are feeling the need for such an aid, and they haven't had the DU exposure or anything like that, all it comes down to, again, is that the mortal nature is so defective. It thinks it's going to live forever. It thinks it can do everything that it could do when it was young and the body was new, clean, and very powerful. It thinks it's going to be able to continue doing that no matter how much older it gets, while simultaneously, day in, day out, it trashes its body temple with a bunch of junk going in that's corrupting the body from within, causing it to rot out for cellular degeneration and all kinds of diseases and the symptoms related to that to manifest everywhere, which ultimately means they have no energy at all. And when you have no energy, how are you expecting to be able to do anything? And whether it's hard work or anything. And so there you have the incredible irony of that mortal nature. You see, it's all man-made problems, all self-induced, And there's no remedy coming from some big corporation peddling their petroleum product, calling it medicine under the guise of pharmaceuticals. The remedy is to get in touch with your real self, get back, take responsibility for your own body temple, the home that you carry around everywhere you go, and clean it up. Start to treat it properly like you do with your brand new car. If you're going to keep that brand new car clean and shiny with only the best gas and engine oil changes at the appropriate intervals, then heck, don't you want to at least treat your body at least that good and follow its natural design so that you can get life out of that one too for a long time?
And the mind.
Right, and the mind will be right there with it. A healthy body is a healthy mind, and a healthy mind is a healthy body. That is a two-way street. You have to have total mastery over that as well if you want to have a healthy body. But again, it just goes to show that the defective nature of the mortal mind, how it allows, we allow ourselves to do all this to ourselves, all the while pretending we're not, and that we're going to be around forever as a kid feeling great. And then as you get older and you find out, well, you are aging after all because your body is corrupting because you're really not taking care of it, but you pretend it's really not that bad and you go to a plastic surgeon to get your face stretched. And then you think you're actually getting younger because of a stupid operation like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than do it God's way, clean out the body, get back on the light foods, the energy levels will surge. When the energy levels come back up to the levels of a 30-year-old, you will look like a 30-year-old. If the energy levels come up to a 40-year-old, you will look like a 40-year-old.
Now, if you're 20, that's not good news.
If you're good enough, if you really got it with that extra discipline to get the energy levels up of a 20-year-old, you'll look it. And you'll do everything a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, 40-year-old could do if you have those energy levels. And that's all there is to it. It's that simple. God has designed it to be that way for us. And unfortunately, we don't have any real teachers that tell us the simple facts and the science behind it all. And so many people, unfortunately, go through life in the dark because we all get an opportunity to come across this information, but we dismiss it because we're conditioned to not believe the truth when it comes across. And then there's not enough real people out there that have some kind of experience of mastery over the subject. So then people could see it and say, well, I can't deny it. This guy still looks great for his age. And so that's the real thing we're missing today, Don. You know, the real teachers that through they practice what they preach and they demonstrate to their students that their principles are accurate and reliable and they're true because the results prove it to be true. And then the good students say, we see it with our own eyes. We hear it with our own ears. We can't deny it's true. And then they all know, you know, like a few years back, while I was still doing some swimming pools, and I'm at a pool site in late August, and I meet the couple, a young couple in their 40s, checking out the pool site. And then Ron says to me, because I'm just dressed in my cut-off jeans, T-shirt, and sneakers. And he goes, Mike, you look like you're in really good shape. You must work out. And I said, I don't work out at all, Ron, but I do a lot of physical hard work like these pools and stuff. But, I mean, I don't go to a gym or anything like that. That's ridiculous. He goes, you're kidding. He says, well, you know, I'm getting in my 40s. I'm getting round. I think I'm going to invest in some gym equipment and start working out. I said, Ron, you consult with me. I'll show you how to get in shape without lifting a finger, without breaking a sweat. You'll tone right up, lose the weight, everything. You'll never break a sweat. You'll never go to the gym. So he does. A few weeks later, he calls me. Mike, it's working so good now my wife Lisa's doing it because she sees the results with me. A few weeks later go by. Mike, Lisa's looking so good when we go out. Guys are flirting with her. I love it, Mike. I love it. And so he got in shape over a span of 2 months. He toned up. He got in great shape. He was looking good. And his wife was too. And so then years go by. I don't see him for quite a while. And then one day I run to him at a health store. And he was back looking in his old shape again. And he was embarrassed when he see me. And I go, Ron, what happened? He goes, I know, Mike, I know. They, their mortal nature got to him. I want my cookies and cakes, my junk foods. I psychologically, I want it. My body doesn't want it, but I want it. And so he goes, but Mike, we know if we want to get the power back, we know what we have to do. We understand exactly what's required. So at least we know if we want it again, what to do. And so, there it is.
Yeah, you described something very interesting there, because it's a person that has been shown the truth. They've been able to manifest the same results in their life, but decided for some reason that it wasn't worth the effort. Because of that intrinsic nature to be
that mortal placed. Nature defect on.
Yes. And it's the same with spiritual matters too. People think that you have to somehow sign up for, you know, some group thing that's going to be sold in a video in order to achieve, you know, what some would call enlightenment, spiritual knowledge. But it's a process that has to occur, and you have to be on guard. You see, people haven't been on guard. You know, I look at denial is sort of this repressed fear that's compressed. It's repressed and it's compressed within a person.
Well, you know, Don, you hit it right there. You got to keep your guard up. And that's why I've always emphasized that we have to, as men, we have to live like warriors, spiritual warriors. And knights on an errand. And that way, through the proper disciplining, we'll never drop our guard. A good warrior never drops his guard. Even when he lets his guard down, he knows his guard is down. And he's always got his eye peeled for that enemy creeping around, looking to make a move when the opportunity may present itself, to strike a blow when you don't see it coming. And so that's exactly how we have to be. And the good Lord was like that. He wasn't any meek, weakling, wimpy guy. He was phenomenal warrior, but he didn't have any interest in conquering and harming anybody physically. His warrior skills were pertaining to conquering every disease, every form of ignorance, and death itself. Death itself, which again, he proved immortality is there for all of us if we follow that particular way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is so key right there. You know, you got to keep your guard up all the time, but you have to want it. And it amazes me when people do get the power back of being like a kid, feeling great, but they don't really care to have it. They'd rather just go back and eat the crap that's going to cause the body to lose that power. And they feel content just because they're satiating their psyche with foods that please them, but don't benefit the body in any way for retaining the power.
Mm-hmm. I think the laziness comes out of the fear of what one might have to do to produce different results, because everything that we're bombarded with and the corporate structure, the banking system, the way the monetary system functions worldwide has everybody struggling just to survive. And they think, you mean I have to do more, or I have to do something else on top of everything I'm doing right now? Right. So they prefer to go into a state of denial, express their displeasure that you brought up whatever topic it was, whether it's what's going on in the world or what's really going on in the world or what's going on in one's mind. Or what's really going or could be going on in one's mind, or the ultimate goal of connecting with your true nature, your true self, and connecting with the creation, where all the help you're asking for is. Everything that you're waiting to be rescued from is within that, and you can rescue yourself effortlessly.
It is available. It is available when you know where to look for it. So, you know, when people may ask, okay, so how do you get in touch with your real self and the process? And you were saying earlier, Don, you know, you have to go within, and that's all an inner process. And at the same time, go out into nature too, where it's peace and quiet. Only the sounds of nature, no other man-made noise or scenery. All God's nature surrounding your senses, and there you'll find peace. And you can focus and dwell more and more within to discover that still, that little stillness that's deep within our being. And that's what you have to find, and that's what you have to grab, and that's what you have to open up and know how to access it anytime you need to go back to that spot, because that's where your link is to the Creator, out your own personal Creator, our Creator. And that's why Jesus was always outside. He did teach that it's in order for man to know himself, the work to be done, you have to also get very close to nature, because it's in nature herself that all our answers for our immortal nature, our real self can be discovered. It's through nature, through the light energies, through her foods, as well as the peace that we can discover in nature, the well-being, the sense of well-being. That's all part of the immortal nature. See, fear itself is not part of a sense of well-being, of course. And so that sense of well-being we can find in nature. And simultaneously, while we're studying nature so close, we will see that nature herself, though, is trapped in this defective state of being, and that fear itself exists in nature, and that the animals are in fear all the time. And so we'll see all that real quick, and we'll always be able to find ourselves faster from that process. All the ancients that were on this trail always remained reclusive and out in nature most of the time, because that's how it works.
Yes. Well, Michael, we're out of time, but this is a very interesting topic and close to my heart. I know very close to yours. And
yes, sir.
I appreciate you tackling it under these circumstances, because there's so much chaos going on in the world. And I notice more than anything, I hear people say, when I ask, how are you today, or how are you feeling? I hear, I'm tired, and I'm sick.
Yeah, it's very common.
I hear that more than anything else. And they're promising everyone health care. The health care that everyone really requires comes from themselves. They can take part in that themselves. We were created that way.
Through nature. That's right, Don. Through nature, you see. It's through nature that we have the best health care plan around. And I call it, when people, if the government ever says, Obama says, well, you, Mike, you're not paying your monthly insurance for your health care. I say, I don't need to, Obama. I already got my own health care insurance. It's called God, buddy. So go take it and stick it where the sun don't shine, you foreign-born loser, commie scum.
All right. Well, Michael, I want to let the listening audience know that you'll be with us again next Tuesday, the 29th of March. And who knows what we'll be talking about that night. But as always, it's interesting and informative and uplifting, too.
So, well, thank you, Don. It's always a lot of fun for me, and I look forward to next week as well.
All right. Folks, we have to wrap it up now. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And our guest tonight, Mr. Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for making Evident Footprints possible around the world on the radio frequencies that you broadcast on worldwide. And over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guests will be Mr. Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.